We're going to have a wonderful Christmas blessing today. And one of the things I did learn from our difficulties last week, where I could only be on as a participant and not as a host, I got to observe what you hear and what goes on without the benefit of our muting. Now, this is not said in any way as a criticism or even coaching, because the fact is you should be doing your life as you want to be doing your life, and we can control for background noises here. As I put you into the Q&A mode, that takes care of it, which is why we call in on a *6, then press 1 to talk. So that it really gives the utmost in freedom to everyone. However, as a contribution, I would like to suggest that you set up this time before the blessings of Christ as your little moment of personal church, where you set up your life to where you go to church. And it's not a church you have to dress up in fancy clothes. It's not a church where you have to put on makeup and pretty up to show off to the world. It's about you arriving to your sanctuary with those you love, whoever you want to have in your sanctuary, and just give yourself a few moments to arrive. And actually, this is the main reason I give a little message before we go into the blessing, because it takes a little while to transition from our beta brain that is engaged with all the processes and activities of the world into our alpha theta, more spiritually oriented side of our awareness and our participation with life. And a little bit of transition helps, as well as the fact that the blessing that sometimes you get words not just from me, but from Yeshua, who talks through me to you. And at the very least, what I have learned to do is to reach my arms around our whole community worldwide and feel what you want and need at that moment and try to address it. And that's why I do ask for questions, because getting a little bit of confirmation from you helps me to confirm that, yes, I thought that's what was going on today. I thought that's where the sensitivity was. Just getting a little response from you, any of you, on any subject, really helps me to have that kind of feedback. And so we build the message so that it is for everyone and to help everyone get attuned. I remember when I was a little girl, Yeshua, or Jesus, as of course I called him in my youth, because that's what he was called at church. He was always my love, my spiritual leader, and everything I aspired to be. And I would say my prayers to him every night. But unfortunately, I was only taught about him in church, in Sunday school, and from my parents. I was taught about his life, what he wanted us to do, how he wanted us to live our lives, and how we would meet him when we went to heaven, and, you know, all the good stuff that you get from church. But I wasn't encouraged to believe that I had a direct personal relationship with him. In fact, it was a little bit discouraged, if I might say, because it would be suspect, considering that so many of the church leaders didn't have that. Well, maybe you're just getting it from someone who isn't him. Maybe it's the wrong person. And so we weren't even encouraged to believe that we could have a direct relationship. Nevertheless, at bedtime, when I would say my prayers, I would ask my mother if I could light a candle. And I always felt that bringing a candle by my bedside just made that little moment of prayer very, very special. It was like creating a little sanctuary where Yeshua and I were, and I was saying my little nightly prayers. It wasn't a big deal. Sometimes Mother would read out of the Bible a little scripture she thought that would be right for my age. And sometimes we would say our prayers together. But we created a little moment just before bedtime that was like a little sanctuary. And that little moment made all the difference. And that's what I'm talking about. Before you receive, you're coming here to receive His blessing. And I know you have people in your household who are probably doing their life, and maybe they're not even tuned in to the blessing. Maybe they open the door and say, "Hey, Mom, is it okay if I go out with Ralph on the motorcycle?" And you go out and the motorcycle streams off, and that's just life. That's just life. Things do happen. Pots and pans are rattling in the background. Somebody's getting a meal ready. Blessings to them. Nevertheless, we still get back to this little sanctuary. It's not an instant transition to get into your Sacred Heart or to get into this place where you receive blessings. My suggestion is give yourself a chance to walk into it gracefully as you come and prepare. This is why in churches that are made out of bricks and mortar, people come in, they sing, they pray together, they have a message from the congregation, and then they get a message from the pastor, and then they take the sacrament. Last of all, the sacrament doesn't come first, because you just don't come in from the street into the sacrament. This, in fact, is why in the ancient world, the synagogues were built the way they were. There was the outer place where people congregated, almost like a marketplace, and then there was the sanctuary, the inner of the inner, and then there was the synagogue. It was in three sections, and each section became more holy, and the churches are built with that same thought in mind. They're especially the ones built on the medieval platform where they were built in the configuration of a cross. There was the place where the congregation would come in, and then there was the cross where the choir and the pastors would enter, and then in the top part of the cross, that's where the altar was, and that's where the sacraments would be said. And it was a way of actually creating holiness for the moment when we make our connection with Christ. And we do have a church here. This isn't just a conference call line. I think it's a good time to remind you that people are calling in from Germany, France, England, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, and let's see, there's several from the Middle European countries that call in on a regular basis, and other people that are traveling. We've had people call in from Japan. We've had people call in from Singapore. And lots call in from Hawaii. This is a church. And we are a congregation of friends who love Yeshua. We have no doctrine other than that we love one another. We love God with all our hearts. We love Yeshua. And we come together to celebrate that love and to receive His blessings on Sunday. What I would really like to talk about today, before I get into my message, though, I do have one rather mundane announcement to make. And I want to make that so that we can progress into the more inspiring part of our message. We did get all of our orders out last week, and everyone who ordered by Friday morning should have everything you ordered before Christmas. So, congratulations. Thank you, angels and Yeshua, for all your help getting us through that hurdle and getting packages on to those who want to give and receive these most special packages of love. We did get one order late Friday that will not go out until Monday morning, but it should still get there by Christmas. If you still want to order something and you're in the continental United States, you still can do it today or before noon tomorrow, Monday. If you send it prayer ready, it will still get there. So those are the parameters for what can still get there. Of course, gift certificates get there instantly. And that's always a good idea for last minute stocking stuffers. And other than that, I want to thank you, every one of you, for your generous support and your willingness to help us get these messages and products from Yeshua out into the world to share, especially into places where maybe people are not ready yet for the full message. Maybe they're not yet ready to realize that Yeshua is still appearing to people today just as he did in years of old. But people love him even when they don't know they love him. And that's the great thing about Christ sent. Just give them an aroma and don't say a word. It changes people's lives. We have products, and I am so glad to say this, we have products that change people's lives for the better. It really makes a difference in people's lives. We have a new, brand new edition of the Keys of Yeshua that has just been approved at press. We don't have them available yet, but they will be available for shipping by the first week in January. And it has been, no new information was added, but every mistake, every punctuation error, every printing error, every formatting error, it's gone. It's a beautiful, perfect book. And I will probably be having a number of them shipped here so that I can just celebrate the final finishing of this perfect book. And thank you, Tony Gary, for editing and proofing this book. It really, really made a difference. And we're going to have a brand new, fully edited and expanded Anointed with Oil book. We've got 28 extra pages in it, beautifully put together, brand new cover, whole new depth of concept on what essential oils do for us, how we can use them for healing, and especially the healing of the spirit. That will be available the first week in January. It's done. It's in press right now. And last but not least, the third one, When Heaven Touches Earth, which was never really a true book before. What it was part one from Love Without End, which I wanted to save and still make available, and then I added a few articles that I had written for seminars. But it didn't make a point other than the fact that it preserved old material. Through the years of teaching, and especially teaching the blessing and offering the blessing, I have come to appreciate and realize how much I am part of the mystical tradition of Christianity. And it is that tradition that has refreshed the spirit of Christ every generation. And this book was written to honor people like Saint Bernadette, Saint Francis, so many others who have carried forward that mystical tradition and combined it with the new revelations of 21st century science that are explaining how, in fact, our universe is not limited to the simple perceptions we think are our box of reality. How much confirmation is coming from science on how far our perceptions can extend. And so it now is a full new book that carries into the 21st century our mystical capacity as human beings, homo mysticus, the whole new strata of human awareness that can perceive and unite whole spaces of existence. That too will be available in the first week of January, and we're really going to celebrate the arrival of that book because it's going to help make a landmark conceptual presence for our 2015 and the studies that we do in 2015. And also, we want to celebrate today the winter solstice. Of course, some of you, those of you in the southern hemisphere, it is the summer solstice for you. It's the time of year when the sun is most on a tilted relationship with the earth. Those of you in the south get to see the most of the sun. Those of us in the north have the shortest day of the year. However, I do want to talk about the winter solstice. Not to give a prejudicial leaning to those of us in the northern hemisphere, because we know that you will have your winter solstice, and what I have to say today will help you understand, when your winter comes, why we would celebrate the shortest day of the year. Why it would be so special. In fact, it's far more celebrated than the summer solstice. Well, the reason why, there's a very good reason why. And I want to start with a couple of quotes from Yeshua. First of all, he said, I am the light of the world. Then in another place, he said, you are the light of the world. Take your light out from under the bushel basket you've got sitting over your head and let your light shine so that others can see it. In another passage, he said, God is light. And there is nothing in God but light. And I thought, and I've talked to him many times about this, if God is light, and God is all around us, why do we see darkness? Why is there ever, ever darkness? And he said, well, really, darkness is the illusion. And it only fills the spaces you have not yet illuminated. And I thought, well, that's a very interesting viewpoint. I wonder how I could understand that one better. And through the years, especially as I was preparing a webinar that I did about 4 or 5 years ago called Where is Your Light? And while I was preparing the new book, When Heaven Touches Earth, and it really is a new book. It's much longer. It's more integrated. It's fuller. It's the complete book that promise held for it to be when it was first released as just a way to salvage part one from Love Without End. Okay, but getting back to light. Yeshua said there are many frequencies of light, most of which you can't see with your eyes. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. When I was in college, I studied optics, which is the study of light. You might think it was like the study of glasses or lenses or things like that, but actually optics is the study of light. And I actually had a minor in the study of optics, and I knew all the different frequencies of color. Every color has a different frequency, which is actually why color therapy is a very viable healing modality, because different frequencies can address different issues and stimulate different levels of thinking. But it never occurred to me that light itself had many different frequencies, most of which we could not see. But it makes sense when it finally answered all the questions I had from scientists like Albert Einstein, who said, everything is just condensed light. And I thought, you mean that mountain out there? That if I burrowed into it, and then I shut the door, there would be light? I don't think so. I don't think I would see anything but darkness. I go into my closet, I shut the door, I just see darkness. Well, our eyes were created to detect only a limited frequency of light. I think one of the things that has reinforced our idea that light is just one, light is just what we see with our eyes, was the other pronouncement of and discovery of Albert Einstein, and that is there is a constant speed of light. Light only has one speed, and it is the constant of the universe. So then it's real easy to assume that if it only has one speed, then it only has one frequency. Not true. Shorter frequencies just have to travel. They travel at the same speed. They just have to adjust their wavelengths. They just adjust to make their destination at the same time. Then the other thing is that I never really understood is I thought light always traveled in a straight line. Well, it does if it's a wavelength. Waves of light always travel in straight lines. And so I thought, well, if there's anything that interferes with the travel of light, like just if I have a light on here and I shut the door and there's no light in the hallway, that door interferes with the traveling of light. Not so. It only interferes with the wavelengths that come out of my incandescent light bulb. But light is also a particle. And the particles have actually been demonstrated to travel spontaneously. Yes, spontaneously. And through matter. Yes, through matter. In a ping pong kind of way. Yes. Now, we don't see this with our eyes, but all of this has been demonstrated scientific laboratories like Fermilab and other nuclear colliders and smoke chambers. It has been demonstrated. Cloud chambers, I mean, not smoke. That light actually is quite phenomenal. It has also been demonstrated, and this is one of the things that I actually show evidence to in our Blessing Giver seminar, is that every cell in your body is illuminated, and we actually have connective tissue that is designed to absorb light and be phosphorescent to ensure that every cell of our body is illuminated. Without that phosphorescent nature, x-rays wouldn't work, MRIs wouldn't work, CAT scans wouldn't work. Everything is light. It's just we don't see all the frequencies of light. If you compared what we see to being above the ocean in a boat, then to diving in the ocean and being underwater a foot or two, it's still pretty illuminated. But then you go down 10 feet and you don't see quite as much. You go down 100 feet and you need a spotlight. But there's still light there. And then after a while your eyes adapt to it, just like they adapt to theater. You walk into a darkened theater and your eyes adapt to the darkness. Then you can see. The inability to do that is night blindness. So we have many, many adaptable senses for light. And then, on top of that, there are frequencies of light that are way beyond our human capacity to see. I think of the times when saints of the past report their great illuminated visions, where they see this burst of light and Christ enters their life. I remember November 23rd in my life when this great burst of light came into my life and I saw it And it was the kind of light that cast no shadows at all. It was literally everywhere. St. Paul was blinded by a light that was like the sun. People come back from near-death experiences, and they report light and color that the body cannot see. I'm intrigued by a comment, by the final words of, I'll get back to that in just a moment. I don't know why, I just drew a blank. Steve Jobs, the final words of his life as he was passing out of this world. Now, this is according to what his sister said. He was in the actual process of exiting his body, but he was still connected enough to utter the words, "Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow." I can imagine the burst of light he saw as he left behind the physical bodily senses, and the light of the soul began to be the sense through which he perceived the rest of existence. I remember receiving a message from my mother shortly after she passed, and she told me it was unbelievably beautiful. Earth had nothing to compare to the beautiful colors that she saw. Now, what does that have to do with the winter solstice? A lot. It has to do with the winter solstice the same as if, well, we looked out on a dark night and we could see all the stars shining that we could not see in the daytime. You see, we can be so overwhelmed by sunlight. The glare of physical radiance that we forget to look for the light of the soul, the light of the heart, the light we share between one another, the light we have to offer the world. When I look around at the hearts and the spirit of people at Christmas, I see their light shining brighter than any other time of the year. I see their heart shining brighter. I see them being in that charitable, loving mode of being. I see them going to church and singing in choirs and literally activating in multiple harmonic response a great light into the world that they otherwise might not see or feel. You see, the absence of sunlight can allow us to see other lights that we have been missing. Most especially, the light of the soul. And I think in some ways, this time of life that has often been called the dark night of the soul is misnamed. I think in many cases what it is the dark night of the ego. It's where the ego has been so totally slaughtered. It falters and shrivels like the Wicked Witch of the West when Dorothy threw water on her and she shriveled down to the earth and could no longer handle or motivate anything in life. And all of a sudden, the light of the soul was seen. And in that vision, the light of the soul became the answers that were being looked for in life. The light of the soul was what you've been looking for all your life and didn't realize it. And sometimes it's important to celebrate the absence of Well, I wouldn't. Of course, the sunlight is not in any way false light. And the light of our confidence is not false light. It's just light that can't go very far without the light of the soul. The light of a bright idea is not a false light either. It's just we've all had bright ideas, and sometimes they don't go too far. We get them started, and we think this is the answer, it's going to work. And so many times we have to fail. But it's as long as we come back. Like my husband loves to say, no one ever drowned from falling in the water. You only drown from staying in the water too long. You see, sometimes we need to go down in order to break that light that was inadequate so that we can come back to it with a greater light that has more of the answers. And it may not have enough answers, so that goes down so that we can find a greater light. And that goes down, then, so we can find a greater light. Do you know the average, this has actually been studied by people who really are teachers and researchers of the success phenomena. The average number of times required for a diligent comeback before success is 5 times. And I think it's because it takes 5 times going down for us to get the greater and greater and brighter light. Now, that being said, I think that it is the perfect time of year to celebrate the birth of Christ and the birth of Christ within us. I don't believe this was his historical birthday. The scriptures say nothing about what day of the month or even what month it was in. We just know it wouldn't have been and could not have been winter. But it's the perfect time to celebrate his purpose in the world and who he is. And the fact that we are not told his birthday gives us the right to say, okay, I think it's a great time now because this season brings out the best in people. To help, to share, to offer support for those who have helped them to increase their light, for those who need greater light. It's a time of year when we turn on the lights. And now I would like to invite you into a blessing, which is to you from the light of the world, Yeshua, Son of God, Lord of life, who is here to add his light to your light as his gift to you. And if you would just surrender into your seat, into the quietness of your heart, the quietness of your inner being, and it's okay if in that place you don't see light. Sometimes we need the darkness in order to find a greater light. And sometimes the greater light is one we cannot see with senses that we have yet cultivated. So let us just be. I will say an invocation to Yeshua. And as soon as I've completed, I would like you to begin your prayer and just pray in any manner that seems right or comfortable for you. Don't feel that you have to cover every subject of your need. For God knows your needs and your wants. What God needs and wants is your love, your light, and the fact that you wish to be connected. Celebrate that connection and your desire for that connection with your prayer. I think that's the best way to pray. So, let us begin, and I ask blessing givers to join me. Let's make this the greatest blessing of the year. Dear Yeshua, we are in such gratitude that you brought into this world a greater light, and that you brought into this world a stimulus for us to find our greater ability to perceive it, to understand it, to offer it to others, and to literally become that greater light in this marvelous creation of God, where all of light is God, and God is all of light. We thank you for being here to help us through our issues, our confusions, our needs. Some of us are not feeling too well right now. We ask that you give us a healing blessing. Some of us are feeling a little lonely and at loss this season of the year because we're not with loved ones we wish we could be with. We ask that you be our loved one and give us comfort. We ask that you be with the children and stimulate the light that they are to be the greatest light in the world that we shall see come to fruition now and in the future. We ask that you guide those who are passing into the greater light of their being. And most of all, we ask that you would be with us always, sharing the light of your being and the light of God. Amen. the offering of blessing is complete. Now I'd like you to go and rest for at least 7 minutes. And in that period, don't think about what you need or think about anything. Just rest. Be an empty slate, a whiteboard with nothing on it. Allow the Holy Spirit to write its message in your life. Deliver its gifts to your life. Assimilate, be filled, and rejoice for the coming of the light into the world. Bye-bye for now, and wishing you a very, very wonderful, wonderful Christmas filled with peace, joy, and the presence of Christ. Bye-bye until next week.